friends. Welcome to Sips of Sunshine, the podcast hosted by Amy Ogden. Sips of Sunshine is a place to share inspiration, positivity, and fresh ways of thinking. Thanks for listening. If you enjoy today's episode, please share this sip of sunshine with someone you love. And now, on to today's podcast.
Hi guys, welcome to Sips of Sunshine. This is Amy. Thanks so much for listening in. Today's podcast is going to be a little bit different than my usual motivation or inspirational topic. I've kind of had a topic in mind for a while that I wanted to do a podcast episode on, and then over the past several days, I've just had too many things kind of come together that were like, okay, this is the time to do this one. I know that a lot of my listeners are women and young women, and by no means is this topic just for women and young women. However, I think it very much is for women and young women. And the topic is personal safety and self-defense. And I have a really specific message here. So I'm going to jump right into this topic. And this isn't a fun topic, and it's going to be a little bit hard to listen to, but I also really believe that this podcast could save your life or save the life of someone you know. And so I want to share it as, you know, just a way to hopefully help you have some thoughts around personal safety and what you would do if you were in a position where you needed to defend yourself. So it's no secret that I am a little bit obsessed with true crime TV. Pretty much on any weekend night, if I'm home, I'm watching Dateline or 2020. I recently found this show on the Oxygen Network called Criminal Confessions, which is just basically like a Dateline murder mystery. They start out with the murder, and then they go back through the suspects and do all of the like interrogation room video and stuff until they tell you who did it. So anyway, so I'm just fascinated by this stuff. I don't want to say I love it, because that feels really weird to say that I love entertainment about people losing their lives, but I'm just fascinated by it. And then came Dirty John. And if you don't know about Dirty John, let me tell you a little bit about it. So it was first this incredible podcast that came out in 2017. And then Bravo recently revealed a mini series of it with actors and actresses. It was like an 8 or 10 part mini series. And then the Oxygen Network ran a 90-minute documentary on this story. So Dirty John is the true story of a man named John Meehan. He started dating a woman in Orange County in 2015. So this was just a few years ago in very affluent Orange County. She was a single, wealthy, successful woman with what many of us would consider an amazing life. But she was single and she wanted to meet someone. So she goes on to a website called ourtime.com, which is kind of like match.com for people 50 and over. John was on the site. They match, they start chatting, and a couple of days later, they go on their first date. He was a charming, handsome doctor. What this woman didn't know, her name was Deborah, was that his entire online profile and his entire life was a lie. He had been released from prison only 2 days before she met him for their first date. He was essentially homeless when they went on their first date. I think he was like living out of like a trailer or something. Not that if you live in a trailer, you're homeless, but it wasn't like a home. I think it was more like a camper trailer maybe. So he charms her, and within 2 months of meeting, they live together in a waterfront home that she's paying for, and they get married in Vegas. This is really crazy. He steals her money to buy drugs. He separates her from her family and her children. Her children, the moment they met him, completely called BS on this guy. They thought he was creepy. They knew something was wrong. He burns her car. I mean, he absolutely terrorizes her. Her children, he sits in a car in the dark outside of her daughter's apartment. I mean, it's crazy, you guys. The story ends with Deborah running for her life from this man and him trying to murder her young daughter, Tara. And Tara's this like 5'2" beautiful blonde who's obsessed with zombie shows and like the zombie apocalypse. John is a very tall, strong man on drugs. And this is a true story. It just happened a few years ago. And it happened to a woman that any of us could be or know. This could be your mother, your aunt, your friend, your boss. This was a very successful, smart woman living in Orange County. So we're going to put that on pause for a minute. Years ago, I watched an episode of Oprah, and she had a safety expert on, and he said two things that really stayed with me. The first one was that humans are the only animals that don't follow their instincts. If a deer hears or sees something in the forest that doesn't feel right, that deer turns around and runs like hell. It doesn't ask questions, doesn't stop to investigate further. The deer just gets out at the first sign of danger. A woman sees a man standing in the elevator. The little hairs on her arms stand up, and she walks into the elevator. It's because we don't want to be rude. We don't want to seem weird. We just basically deny our animal instincts that say something is wrong here. And then number two, and this is equally, if not even more important, never let them take you to the second location. A lot of crimes happen in two locations. The first location is where the criminal encounters you. That could be a dark parking lot while you're walking to your car at night. That could be, you're taking out the trash from your office and there's an alleyway behind your building and the criminal walks up. That could be in your home. They could break in. Yeah, wherever you first encounter the criminal or the person who is going to hurt you is the first location. And then the second location is wherever they're trying to take you. So for instance, if you're walking to your car at the mall and you're walking through the parking lot, it could be daytime, it could be nighttime, say a man walks right up to you, sticks a gun in your back and whispers in your ear, get in your car and take me to an ATM. I just want money and then I'll let you go. Your car is the second location. The minute he has you in the car, he can then, put a gun to you and force you to drive somewhere else. He can, overpower you and take the car and drive you to where he wants you. So in that case, the parking lot is the first location. The car is the second location. Say you're walking into your apartment building. A man pops out of the corner out of nowhere and tries to force you into the building, into the lobby, or maybe you're going into your home and someone pops around the corner. Wherever you encountered them, so say it's the patio of your home, like the front patio, or it's the entry to your building, that's the first location. Anything inside, especially in an elevator or in your apartment or home, that is the second location. Say you're leaving a club with your friends and, it doesn't have to be a boogeyman popping out of nowhere. It could also be a guy who's giving you the creeps, who's like, just get into my car. Let me just get you home. You don't need to call an Uber. Their car is the second location. So the whole point of this is the moment you encounter the person, that's the first location. And anywhere they get you, your car, your elevator, your house, into their place, whatever, that's the second location. All right, we're going to come back to that in a minute. So now back to Dirty John. So Tara is Deborah's daughter. She's the 5'2" blonde. And John at this point has been terrorizing her family for about 6 months. There are restraining orders out. The mom is running from him. I mean, it's really, really bad. This isn't just like a jerk her mom is dating. This is someone who is on the run from the police. They all know he's dangerous. So Tara, it's a beautiful sunny afternoon, so scary things don't always happen in the middle of the night or, in a dark alley. It is a bright sunny afternoon in the parking lot of her apartments in Orange County, and she pulls into the parking lot. She'd been working that morning, and she's just going to run upstairs and grab her weekend bag. It's got some things in it. She's going to go to a music festival with her friends. So parks her car in this just like open parking lot, gets out, and before she knows it, John is there. He tries to grab her by the waist from behind, and he has a knife. And she immediately starts fighting back. Remember, she's in location number one, right? She is at the point of encounter. So she did the right thing, which was don't leave location number one and fight like hell. He was trying to get her into his car. And I don't know if it was the trunk of his car or just into his car, but his goal was to take her. And, you know, God forbid he got her into his car. You know, I would be surprised if she made it. So she immediately, like right there at her car when he grabs her, she fights like crazy. They end up on the ground. She's on her back on the ground. She starts kicking like a bicycle kick, just one foot after the other straight at him. And then she bites him as hard as she can. It's like his hand or his arm or something. He has a knife. I don't know if I mentioned this. He has a knife. So, you know, there's this thing you guys have probably all heard of. There's fight or flight response. What a lot of people don't talk about is freeze. Most people actually have one of three responses: fight, flight, or freeze. And a lot of women freeze. Imagine if a man put a knife to the back of your throat or a gun to the back of you or wherever. Like, I don't know about you, but I think a lot of people, you just freeze and you're just like, your brain's just trying to process what's going on. What Tara did right is she fought. He had his arms around her. He was a really big, strong man. He had a knife. And she knew that it was kill or be killed. And she knew that she had only one choice, which was to fight like hell right there in broad daylight in that parking lot. She was not getting in his car. She was not going to location number two. God only knows what this man would have done to her if he had gotten her alone and had control over her. So she's kicking like crazy. She bites him as hard as she can. He drops the knife and it lands right next to her. She doesn't even stop and think. She grabs the knife and immediately just starts wailing on him. And I think she stabbed him like 13 times. And the stab wound that fully killed him was she stabbed him through his eye into his brain, which, like, this, I know this is gory, you guys, but this is real life and this really happened to a girl in Orange County 3 years ago. So, like, you have to hear this. This could happen to anyone. She was obsessed with, like, zombie apocalypse movies and stuff. And there's this thing in zombie apocalypse that the way to kill a zombie is to stab him in the eye, I guess. I don't watch those, but that was how she thought about that. And in the interviews afterwards, she said, she goes, I knew that there was only one choice, kill or be killed. And she lived because she refused to go to the second location and she fought for her life. So back to criminal confessions on the Oxygen Network. This weekend, I was watching one of the episodes and it was a really hard one to watch. I mean, they're all hard, but this one was about this like young, gorgeous, smart, like just wonderful girl. She was a student at Ohio State University, and she was, as many of us do in college, she was working. So she had a job at like a Mexican restaurant or something at night in kind of the downtown, like the popular like restaurant bar area. So she leaves her shift one night after work, and she was never seen again. The next day, I think it was the next day, a body was found maybe an hour or two away, naked, shot in the head, laying in a snowy field. And it was her. And through this show, Criminal Confessions, you know, they do a lot of things. They find her car, and which then they're able to find a cigarette butt in it. They're able to run the DNA, and it matches a man with a criminal record. They get him from the halfway house he's living in. And after hours of interrogation, they get the story. So it was him. He was, here's a good point to you guys, like, and I'm not trying to scare you here. I just want you to be aware. I'm scared of this stuff. Like, this is real stuff. I think sometimes people think like, well, you know, 90% of women are hurt by someone who loves them. So I don't have a crazy ex or I don't have whatever. But like, this was a stranger who was just wandering in her area, saw an opportunity and went for it. So like, you don't have to have a crazy ex or something like that to, you know, potentially have something happen. So once they found this man, he was a known criminal. He had rape background and just gotten out of prison. They got the story out of him, and he basically carjacked her. You know, she was getting in her car after the shift. She was parked kind of behind the building. He forced her, he had a gun, forced her to let him get into the car. He got in the passenger seat and told her they needed to go to an ATM. He needed money. So, you know, I think she did what a lot of people would do, which is think, okay, just like get to the ATM, get this guy the money, and then he'll go. But the car was the second location in this case. It might have been the first location, and I'll explain that in a minute. But either way, either if she was already in the car and then he hopped in the passenger seat and put a gun on her, then it's the first location. Or if she was walking to the car and he walks up behind her, sticks a gun in her back and says, get in your car, I'm getting in, then the parking lot is the first location. It's wherever they first interact, either in the car or out of the car, but that's the first location. There's video of her at an ATM. It's a drive-up ATM. There's video of her getting money out of the ATM, and he's sitting next to her with what looks like a gun pointed at her. And then, of course, what happened after that is only known by him, but she was found naked, raped, and dead. So I know this is, like, hard to hear, but if you're listening to this, you just have to remember again, and I'm going to say this again, these were normal girls just living their lives. Yeah, the situation with Dirty John was extreme. However, you know, it's not that extreme, and things do happen. And especially this Ohio State student who was leaving work, like, you know, that kind of stuff, just, it can happen. And you just have to be aware and know what you're going to do and have a plan ahead of time. So here's the lesson on this, and I hope that you'll listen to this, but also if there's anyone you know who needs to hear this, please feel free to share this podcast with them. So the lesson here is, and I know I've already said it, I'm going to say it again, never let them take you to a second location. And I can't say it enough, you guys. If someone comes up to you in the parking lot, puts a gun in your back, tells you to get in your car, you fight like hell right there in the parking lot. Don't do what they say. Don't think that if you do, then they're going to let you go. Don't let them physically force you into the car. Scream, bite, kick, bark like a dog, throw things at them, do, climb under a car. I mean, I'm being serious here. Like, you do anything you have to do right there in location number one, right there in that parking lot. If you're going to die, you're going to die with one gunshot in a public parking lot. You're not going to die hours later after being brutally tortured in another location where the criminal has you all to themselves. If you're in a car and suddenly either someone hops into the passenger seat and puts a gun on you, or they're hiding in your back seat and you get in your car and then suddenly they pop up or whatever, I want you to crash your car into a parked car and get out and run. Like, I'm serious here. And if you're at home and someone breaks in, you go crazy right there in your home. Don't even worry about your stuff. Like, throw things off the table, scream, bite, yell, hit them with anything you can. The moment you encounter them is the first location, and you have one choice, which is to stay right there in location number one and fight like hell. And don't worry about how you look or seem or sound, because ultimately you are the person who's got to look out for your safety in the situation. So there you go. This was, like I said, this is not your normal podcast episode. This is absolutely a PSA, but like after that Oprah episode years and years ago, I've never forgotten about the second location theory, and also the theory of that picture. I still remember he used that example. He said, like, a deer in the forest would run, a woman will walk right into literally a steel trap with someone who makes her feel uncomfortable. I remember years ago, I was living in San Diego working at our office there. It was in like a pretty big office building, and I remembered that Oprah episode. I remember the elevator example specifically. It was late at night. I was the last person working in our office. I was working pretty late, and I went out into the lobby, got into the elevator, and there was a man in the elevator. And say we were on, like, I forget now, the 11th floor. He had pushed 5, and I needed to go all the way down to the very bottom parking garage level. And parking garages just kind of weird me out. So I remembered thinking, I don't like this guy, but I was already in before it all kind of processed. I was already in the elevator, and I pushed the parking level. We got down to 5, and the doors opened, and he didn't make a move to get out of the elevator. And I remembered that Oprah episode, and I remembered thinking, don't worry about how you seem. Don't worry about being rude. Just follow your instincts. So I jumped out of the elevator just as the doors were closing, and he looked at me. As all this was happening, I it feels like it was like in slow motion. But I got out and I stopped and turned and looked at him because I remembered thinking, he's not getting out of that elevator with you. Like, he needs to stay in the elevator. I got out of the elevator and I turned and looked at him, and he looked at me and said, I don't know what you're doing. I wasn't going to hurt you. So, like, and you know what? I don't know if he was or not. All I know is that felt so creepy, and I did what felt right to me in that moment, which was to follow my instincts and get out of that elevator. So that's just one example. I have some others, but that's like the one that I've never forgotten, because he looked me right in the eye and said, I don't know what you're doing. I wasn't going to hurt you. And I was like, yeah, you were. No one says that if they weren't going to hurt you or try to do something. So, and then it was really scary because I was in this building, and I was like, he knows what floor I'm on, whatever. So I hung out for like 15 minutes, and then I called a friend and I said, I'm going down to my car. I need you to stay on the phone with me. And if you hear anything, I need you to hang up and call 911 immediately. Here's where I am. And it was the scariest elevator ride and walk to my car that I've probably ever had. So trust your instincts. Never let them take you to the second location. If you have to, you fight for your life. And please, like I said, if there's someone who needs to hear this, share it with them. Thanks for listening, as always, you guys. I love you. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
You've just listened to the Sips of Sunshine podcast with your host, Amy Ogden. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Google Play, and be sure to visit sipsofsunshine.com for more inspiration. See you at the next episode.